Good evening. Did everybody get a copy of the handout? Tonight we're going to look at Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. How many people are familiar with this passage? Okay. How many people are familiar with this passage? Okay, we should have the whole church up. Okay? Make sure we're all awake. That way we can study together. To get us started, what does perspective mean? Anybody? Do what? Put things in order. Okay. Perspective means to put things in order. A point of view sometimes. Webster's defines it as a particular attitude toward or a way of regarding something. Now, perspective is different for everybody, isn't it? This means yes, this means no. Yes. Perspective can be different all the way through. So, tonight, let's see what our perspective is. What do you see? What do y'all see? A tree. Now what do you see? Okay, y'all are starting to see something else. At first you see a tree. But the more perspective you get, you see some faces. How many faces are there? Okay, I've got seven. I hear seven is the most. Eight. I hear nine now. I feel like we're going up. Yeah, I hear nine. Nine. Do I hear ten? Ten. Anybody? Ten. Let's see here. We've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, and 10. Isn't that crazy? We go from that right there. But the more we look, the more of a perspective we get, and the darker we make that little tree, the better the faces you can see. Now, isn't that crazy? How we can all look at one thing and see something totally different? Now, this is something I found interesting. 10 is the correct number on the tree. But this is, I looked up things that people commonly do wrong. Now, how many people make BLTs? Again, I should see every hand in the room up except for Maisie. Where is Maisie? Oh, she knew I was talking about her tonight. I told her this morning I was going to use her as an example, and she ran away. So, how many people make BLTs? Everyone? How do you make a BLT? Bread, lettuce, tomato? Bacon, okay. Yeah, we can't leave out the bacon. But as I was looking this up, it says we've done BLTs wrong for years. And I've never figured that out. The correct practice to make BLTs is so you get bacon in every bite. They make it where they crisscross everything, kind of like a lattice work on a pie. So that way, with every bite, you get bacon. Now, that is perfect. Now, to me, I don't believe there's a right or wrong way with bacon. We all just want to eat bacon. And Maisie's not here, unfortunately. How about this? How do you make cookies in the summertime? Same way you do in the winter? Anybody else? This is one I found very funny. Buy the dough and cut it. Okay. Buy the dough and cut it. Buy the dough and cut it. Well, this is where I'll really get you. You cut it, you put it on the pan, you put it in your car windshield. Who needs to mask the smells in their car? That to me is the right way. How about how to cut a cherry tomato? Long way? Okay, on a cherry tomato, how do you cut it long way? You just eat it, pop it? Well, this one I found interesting. Because these are really hard to cut, by the way. Put it between two lids and run the knife in between them. I thought that was really good. Except, don't press too hard. You might make ketchup. That would be something I would do. So, if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 15. Tonight we're going to look at the parable of the lost son. Now, how many characters are in this story? Three, okay. The parable of the lost son, everybody's got a little sheet so you can fill in the lost son or the prodigal son. There's three characters. Who are the three main characters of this story? The father and the two brothers. And now, are the brothers twins? No. One's older, one's younger, okay. Says here in verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to him his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, I don't know about y'all. My mom and dad have three sons, and we are all totally different. I'm the oldest. My youngest brother, the youngest of all three of us, is 12 years younger than me. Now, I can't imagine having my youngest brother go to my parents and say, hey, Mom, Dad, I love you, but go ahead and give me my part of the inheritance. That was really strange. That would be really strange today, wouldn't it? As parents, would you want your youngest child to come to you and say, hey, I can't wait for you to die, so just go ahead and give me what belongs to me. That's what this parable, that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, I can't wait for this. Just go ahead and give it to me. And he goes on, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Now, can you imagine being so hungry that you were going to eat what the pigs were eating? Anybody ever been that hungry? I've been hungry enough to want to eat a candy bar. Anybody ever been that hungry? Like the Snickers commercials? Here, eat a candy bar. So, but this is in the Jewish times where pigs were unclean. So here he's went to a far country, he's away from everybody he knows, he has no money, and he joins himself with a citizen and gets a job, and he sends him out to feed the pigs. Now, if that's not low for a Jewish person to be feeding pigs, he's ready to eat what the pigs are eating. So now he's not only getting low, he's getting really low. And then it says he came to himself. Sometimes we forget about that part. Before we can change what we're doing, sometimes we have to sink to the very, very bottom. Anybody ever seen the movie Titanic? Remember that as they're telling the story, they're trying to get this lady to tell us more of the story, and she goes out there and they put the submarine on the very bottom of the floor and start showing her the Titanic, and then she starts remembering everything. That's kind of what happens here. He sees the bottom. he has gotten so low that he's ready to come back. So you got four blank, you got several blanks there. You got five blanks on the young son. I came up with the five R's of the young son. First, you have restless. The young son got restless, didn't he? He was living at home, and he got tired of being at home. So restlessness turns into rebellion. Did somebody else get restless in the Bible? A lot of times people get restless and it turns to rebellion. Think about the King David. He should have been out with his troops in war, and he got restless one night, and he was walking on top of his palace, and he seen a beautiful woman, and it led to rebellion. Bible bowlers. What else happened? Remember Daniel chapter 4? Who else rebelled? Okay, I'm going to give you a Bible bowl question here. Was it A, King Nebuchadnezzar, B, Daniel, or C, the lion's den? So it should be an easy answer. This is A, this is B, and this is C. Okay, I want to see everybody's hands. The answer is A, King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? In Daniel chapter 4, it says here, all this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking around the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? So he's already thinking, look at what I have done. I am so great. My power is so great. My might is so great. Isn't this wonderful? As a king, while the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times you shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And that very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. You see, his restlessness and his own thinking led to rebellion. You see, when we get restless as Christians, we don't need to let it lead us to rebellion, but rather let it lead us to reading. See, if we're restless, pick up God's Word and start reading it. And if you start reading it, it'll make you remorseful. And once it makes you remorseful, it'll turn you to repentance, which will turn you to reconciliation. That's what happened here to the younger son. See, his restless led him to rebellion, but then he finally starts figuring this out. Starts leading to remorsefulness in verse 15. When he figures out, hey, I don't want to be with the pigs all this time. But in verse 17 it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, how many times do you think he practiced this? Probably a bunch, because verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. Now remember, he's in a faraway country. I can just imagine he's sitting there going, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant. Practicing this, using different inflections, using different tones, trying to think of what's going to happen when he gets back home. So we see his repentance. He is completely turned around and is coming back home. And then it leads to reconciliation. Verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, we can never be too far away from God that He won't love us. It's like our kids. A couple weeks ago, on Monday night, I was just got done washing the dishes. The girls had been asleep. They were asleep by 8:30. It was wonderful. At 9 o'clock, we were done washing dishes, putting everything up. I looked at Leith. I said, "Hey, we can go watch some TV in bed." We're getting all excited. So we get in the bedroom, and we're looking over something, and I'm getting ready to turn on the TV, and we hear a weird noise. We're like, "What was that?" She goes, "I think that was Elizabeth." I was like, "No, maybe we're just hearing things." So it's quiet again. Like, about that time, we hear, "Dun, dun, 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 dun." I'm like, "Oh, no." So we go to investigate this newfound noise and what's happening. Well, we found what happened in the bed and the trail leading all the way to the bathroom. So this is now like 9:15. So here we are stripping a bed, washing the sheets, cleaning the floors, mopping the floors, cleaning the bathroom back up, getting her to lay down. And now it's like 11:30. Like, okay, let's go to bed. So we get to bed. About 2:30 in the morning, Adeline comes in the room and crawls up in the bed with us. So I've got her. She's sound asleep about 3 o'clock. I felt something wet on my arm. I was like, I get up, realize now Adeline's sick. So we all have to get up, strip another bed, wash the sheets, get her showered and cleaned up. And we go on. So by the time we get back to going to sleep, it's now 4:45 in the morning. Why should we even go to sleep now? But anyway, we lay back down. Next thing I know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's fine. So even through the mess, we love our kids, no matter what. And that's the same way God is. We can never sin more than God can forgive. That is something that's always stuck with me, especially through this parable. So then we move on to the Father. The four S's of the Father. We see that the Father is shocked, probably. You got your younger son coming and asking for his part of the inheritance. Then you see that he's sensitive to it. Because he gives it to him. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't kick him out of the house. He doesn't say, "No way," and run off. But he gives it to him. But then we see that after he leaves, he's still searching for him. It says, as he was still a great ways off, he was searching, and he's seen him. And then we see that he's sparing. Because what happened when he seen him? He ran, fell on him, kissed him. And the son, as the son was saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." He's got it out. He has said what he has practiced. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. You see, the Father is ready to celebrate as soon as we come home. Just like we are when our kids come home. I know a couple weeks ago, both my brothers moved out of town. And Mom and Dad had set it up. Everybody was coming into town, so they wanted to cook. Have a big meal together. So I can care to smoke some ribs for us. No, I'll be happy to. Love to smoke. And then one of the brothers couldn't make it in. So we had a big meal without him. And we're looking forward to the next big meal that we can have. But you see, the Father is always searching, and He's always sparing with us. He's always giving us hope. But then we turn to this older brother. So we have the ewes of the older brother. It says here, "Now that his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe, and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you have killed the fatted calf for him. Now, can you imagine this? The older brother's mad. He's unimpressed. He's been working in the field. He comes in. He hears music. He hears laughter. They're making merry. He's like, what's this mean? How many has ever been to a party? Everybody's been to a party, right? What do you generally do? You get excited about a party, right? If you're having a birthday party, I'm excited about the birthday. If you're having a Christmas party, you're excited about gifts. We get excited. We get pumped up for these things. Same thing if you're in school, there's a pep rally. It's to pump you up, to get you excited about it. And you kind of rush right in. Or somebody calls and says, hey, we cooked a big meal, come over. You usually jump in the car and you're there. Here he comes up and he says, hey, what's going on here? He's not running in, so he's unimpressed with what's going on. Then he's unprepared for what he says. He says, your brother's come home. Oh, him? You mean he's come back? Man, I was kind of lucky. I was the only son now. So he's unprepared, and he's unmoved. He don't rush right in to see him, to hug his neck. He stays there in the field and makes his father leave the party to come and tell him what's going on. And then he's unforgiving. How many times are we like that with those that have fallen away and then come back? Sometimes we're ready to cast the first stone, aren't we? Sometimes we're like, if they only knew what they did, we wouldn't be forgiving them. But as we've seen, the Father can forgive anything. And we need to be the first ones to jump on that boat. We need to jump right in and rush in to hug their neck. Tell them, welcome home. And he said, Son, you are always with me. And all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, now he's found. Sometimes we forget about that part. We need to always be glad when someone returns. Think about, as I was looking back over this and studying this, I was looking back at Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. All the Christians have come back together. They're there to worship this holy day. And they get up there and they start this sermon. And I can just imagine the look on these people's faces. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of the body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he says to himself, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now here's the kicker. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, can you imagine their faces? They're sitting there listening to this. And they're basically calling them out. Now you. And I can imagine their fingers. Instead of pointing like this. You. All of you. This Jesus whom you crucified is now Lord in Christ. And they were pricked in their heart. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" You see, they did all the classic signs of the lost son. They were restless. They rebelled, even killed Christ. And they were at the lowest of the low. You killed him. And then it turned to remorsefulness. What can we do? How can we fix this? Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized." So you got to turn away, and you got to reconcile. How do you reconcile? You got to be baptized. You see, these people in the first century recognize this. So many times we forget that. So many times we're like that lost son. We get out and we have a good time. And we kind of fall away, but not too far away. And then we kind of come back, but not all the way back. We're kind of like right here. And then we kind of step back over and we kind of play that hopscotch game back and forth, back and forth. But we've got to jump all the way in. We've got to come all the way back. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. You see, the prodigal son gladly remembered that word. The father gladly accepted him. And he brought him back. Maybe tonight we have been that prodigal son. Maybe we've stepped way far away. We went to that far country and lived with prodigal living. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you just slipped just a little. And you need to come back. Or maybe we're like the older brother and we don't have that forgiveness that we should. You know, if you've not started your walk with Christ, you could start that tonight. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can put Christ on and walk a new life. Or if you've fallen away, you can be rejoined to the family. You can be welcomed back. You can have the fatted calf killed for you. You can have the party thrown for you. If there's anything we can do for you, come tonight as we stand and sing.